You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are young. More of The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
That is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Pat Benatar. Nice work, Ken. Nice work.
Nominee, I believe, but she should get in. Right?
Yes, you're correct. Nominee. Yes. She should. And no Motley Crue in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is ridiculous.
What an insult. Come on. And while we wait for Volin, who's probably taking his sweet time because he knows he's going to face the fire and Foxborough Fury from yours truly when he gets here.
Yes.
Can we just change the name of it from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Popular American Music Hall of Fame?
Does it bother you that
Yes, it does. Rock and Roll is Rock and Roll.
Because Biggie or whatever you don't think belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Whitney Houston?
Yeah.
Maybe one of the five greatest female voices in American music history. She is not a rock and roll artist. She's not a rock and roll singer. She's not a rock and roll performer.
What about Kraftwerk?
Kraftwerk? Wildly influential in instrumental and new wave music, in no way, shape, or form, a rock band.
Yeah.
Motley Crue, that's rock and roll.
But, I mean, people know what they're going for. If you're making a pilgrimage to Cleveland to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know.
Do you want me to pick up the disdain you said Cleveland with, by the way?
Well, you know what? I mean, if you're going,
it's a good time.
But it's all music. I can't even remember if they only started with rock acts. I think they only started with rock acts and then. They realized they were going to run out of them or whatever.
I'll give you my favorite band, for example, Hall & Oates. I probably consider them more a pop band than a rock band, but at the same time, they played rock music, so I would make an exception.
Yeah.
But the number of rap artists that are just continue. I'm sorry, do I have to say rappers? How Newton did that sound? I'll hang up and wait.
Rap artists?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's some rap artists.
Rappers, hip hoppers.
But certainly, Biggie belongs in any music hall of fame.
No doubt.
I mean,
should also be in. But yes, he does. Of course he does.
Yeah. I eventually you have to start including, they have Chaka Khan. That's
not Rocky Chaka Khan.
And listen, if you're a fan of hers, I feel for you.
That's not a.
It was there.
I am here for all of this.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's
all I want to do.
That's not a rock act though. It's not a rock.
I mean, is Paula Abdul going to be nominated one day?
Probably.
Right,
I don't see too many rap artists in. N.W.A. is in, and Tupac's in.
No, Run D.M.C. is in.
Oh, are they okay?
Yeah.
Well, they were the kings of rock. So.
Yeah, I mean, what? There's got to be more than Tupac. Who'd you say, Tupac?
And N.W.A.
And N.W.A. What? Snoop Dogg isn't.
I don't know. I'll check the list.
What are you looking at, Ken? There's got to be
six. Hold on. As of 2018, six hip-hop acts had been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Run DMC, Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, N.W.A., and Tupac.
Well, Beastie Boys.
So Snoop.
Beastie Boys navigated so many genres in the first place, though.
Well, Eminem should probably be in.
Mm. Oh, Tom Green's in. That's weird. That's kind of an odd.
No, that's the Schlock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's the Schlock and Roll Hall of Fame, Chris.
Oh, you're not a Tom Green fan?
I love Tom Green.
Freddie Got Fingered? Oh, hard pass.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Hard pass. Hard pass. My bum. My bum is over here. My bum is over there.
His bum is on the cheese.
Yes.
That didn't make you chuckle when he said his bum was on the cheese?
He wrote a song about the girl we tweeted out this morning.
I'm sure every day Drew Barrymore wakes up and she goes, "All right, I survived. I'm Drew Barrymore. Why did I touch Tom Green?"
Have you changed your opinion yet on El Camino? And if not, leave the studio.
Nope.
Have you watched it again?
I've watched pieces of it. Yes, it is very, 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 very good.
I have now watched it twice.
Two times.
And I find it to be extraordinary.
Did you like it more the second time?
Yes.
Certain episodes of Breaking Bad you like more the second time. Third time. Whole seasons, even. I mean, Rich Keefe did a season-by-season breakdown on his Dork podcast. It's great.
What did he what did Rich say was the best season?
He was hemming and hawing between 3 and 4.
Oh, four is the best season of television. It might be the best season of television of a series ever.
Eye to eye on that one, Greg. Eye to eye.
You would agree with me?
I think the final episode of season 4 is the best episode of television I've ever seen.
Rich was saying 3 was almost as good.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he loves season 3. Season 3's got the penultimate episode of season 3 before the showdown when Walt shows up and it just ends with him backing up over the people that were going to kill Jesse.
Yes,
and he
yes.
just says, run. Mm. Good. There they are. The hairs are going up. Oh,
goosebumps.
Oh,
yeah. I'm shocked that you didn't find that film to be everything that you wanted, every single thing that you wanted.
Six years of
a Breaking Bad movie.
6 years of expectations, though, build up when you think about what it would be like if we revisit this world. And I don't feel like I didn't need them to change the game. I just wanted them to show me a little something different than a glorified double episode to finish up season 5.
But you like the flashback concept, correct?
It's
the only way to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do flashbacks, and I think we got just enough of them. You know who's great in the movie, though? I think the person who wins the movie is, what's the kid's name? His name in real life is Jesse Plemons, the fat kid who offers him soup.
Oh.
What's his character's name? Excuse me for forgetting.
Spoiler alert.
He's in it a lot, and the flashbacks, like with the maid and the rug, that guy is chilling.
Well, the shootout, I don't want to say too much, because I promised that we wouldn't say too much and give people time to...
It was Todd, by the way. Todd.
Todd, thank you, Daniel. Yeah. Oh, God, the Todd character is so...
The Todd.
Freaking good.
Ben Volen is walking into the studio.
There he is.
Representing the Boston Globe this morning.
Here he comes.
Apparently, during your weekend show, Nick, mm-hmm. you took some shots in the general direction...
That's what we call it.
...of Ben.
Well, welcome to the party.
good morning.
The show may now begin.
Now the show begins.
Excellent.
Wow. Ben is here.
Welcome.
Attaboy.
Sorry, I got stuck behind one of those garbage trucks, and you're stuck through 8 cycles at a traffic light, and you can't get around them,
and what's
banging my head on the steering wheel.
What's the garbage like in Newton? I mean, it's got to be like Grey Poupon bottles.
Yeah, they wear those, like, you know, the white, the clean white outfits, and they come and they have a little dust broom, and they...
It's like in season 3 in Breaking Bad when they're in those full head-to-tail white outfits. Probably like a lot of edamame shells.
Yes.
Kombucha, empty kombucha bottles.
Kombucha bottles.
Yes.
How much half-eaten quinoa can one throw away? Am I right?
Am I right? I'm sure everything is recycled. I mean, is there even any trash in Newton? I mean, I'm sure everything is recycled over there.
Interestingly, I found out that you can't recycle the black takeout plastic, that you get your Chinese food in. If it's black, you can't recycle it, which I was...
Really?
Yeah.
It's got to have numbers 1 through 7 on it.
Apparently.
Oh,
yeah.
Wiggy's going to be upset about that one.
But you can recycle your pizza box. When I lived in Brookline, you couldn't recycle pizza boxes, but you can in Newton if it just has a little bit of oil on it.
Oh, it's because of the oil?
Yeah.
Oh, give me a break.
But those make great fire starters.
True. But we live in Newton, so we hire people to start.
That's right. Mr. Kindling, they call it. Yes, that's right. He comes by and starts it for us.
And being that you work for the Globe, I'm sure you're fully in favor of the plastic straw ban, which is about to be enacted here in the Commonwealth.
I hate it, but I'm not going to raise a stink over it like you are.
You're not?
I do like plastic straws.
Yeah.
Not to be too gross, they double well as toothpicks. Like when you're in a bar,
pinch them.
Absolutely.
Yep. Agree.
I learned that trick from my old man.
Yeah.
And my mom only was able to shame him out of using his keys to pick his ears and his teeth and move to straws. It's a classic.
And those paper straws do not get it done.
The job done. They don't. So lots to talk about football-wise with you. I'm curious what you thought about the no from Rob Gronkowski yesterday on this show.
That was good. You coaxed it out of him. Good job.
Well, I was really the caller. I got to give Dave the caller the credit. But Do you believe, I mean, is that the final declaration from Rob Gronkowski?
I'm sure more rumors are going to pop up. It's good for his business to keep him kind of alive in that sense, but I thought that's the truth. What you got out of him the other day is the truth. And what they said on the Fox pregame show is, oh, he hasn't filed his retirement. That was them just trying to goose up the pregame show and trying to get more ratings. But yeah, I think what he said to you guys is how he's felt for several years, that he just hasn't totally enjoyed it and his body's been beat up. And I think he did not seem like a guy who would miss the action. I think he's so satisfied just being away and doing his own thing right now.
You heard him talk about kind of the thing he's doing with A-Rod and getting into his brother's ice shaker business. And I think he's got stuff going on. I don't think he misses the grind part of it.
Definitely not the grind. It would be, you know, does he miss catching touchdowns and being the superstar and having everyone watch your highlights on Sunday and Monday? And that's what brings guys back. And the money, too. He's not a guy who needs the money right now. So he did a great job of setting himself up post-career. And, yeah, he doesn't need this, right? You know, most guys do, but he doesn't.
Yeah. He probably looks at Matt Lacoste and Izzo and he's like, well, there's no way I could possibly penetrate those ranks. So there's no way I'm coming back. He's in a perfect position right now. There is no need for Gronk to come back because he's arguably one of the four greatest tight ends to ever play the game. I think he's the greatest of all time. But back to what the guys were teasing out, Ben, because they're going to say, if I don't jump on you for this now, that I'm a fraud. And I am. This weekend, my issue was with the Friday headline where you said it was either, let's face it, Patriots offense is not going to get it done, or this offense just isn't good enough. What do you mean by that, and how come we had to go? Well, how come we had to trend in the direction of what's going to end up getting you called trolling bowling online?
Just watching the game Thursday night against the Giants, how did anyone watch the game and think other than, boy, our offense has serious issues right now? I mean, the Giants kept handing the ball over and over. The offense only scored 21 points. The offensive line is a mess. They can't open up any holes for the run game. The receivers are banged up right now. This offense, as it's currently constructed, I believe, is not good enough to win the AFC. When they play real teams, they're going to get exposed. And it will happen sooner than later. They're going to start facing Kansas City and Houston and the Eagles and Dallas and real competitive. And even this Monday against the Jets, I think, is going to be a good test. You know, that's not the easiest environment for them to go in. It could be a grind. So I think they need to make some moves, and the way that this offense is built right now, I just don't think they have what it takes to win the AFC.
No, and I think a lot of people agree because the line has already dropped a point. Patriots are only 9.5-point favorites now. Gase has always played tough.
Well, down there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough down there.
It's going to be a blowout. Yeah, the Jets are going to blow them out.
No, the Jets are going to cover. I'll bet you a butter cake on it.
So what was your big problem?
But my problem was, instead of just saying that it's a work in progress, or that it felt like the headline just sort of trended in the direction of people that feel the offense stinks or that are looking for something to complain about. And I've admitted online and here before that the Patriots offense is a little broken right now. But saying that they're
not a little broken, you said they are broken. Two weeks in a row.
Ken, the adults are talking, if you would, please.
Whoa!
But the point is that while the offense, yeah, it's a work in progress, and it is broken now, per se, and needs some reparation.
Per se.
Ken, I don't want to take away your dessert.
They're 6-0, and it's broken. I love sports radio.
The offense has its issues, but reinforcements are on the way. It's going to evolve. It's going to change.
What reinforcements are on the way?
N'Keal Harry will be coming. You know they're going to make a trade. Isaiah Wynn is likely to come off the injured reserve as well, and he's going to be the biggest issue.
How are you certain that they're going to make a trade?
That it's going to be an impactful trade?
Yeah.
I mean, if they trade for pie in the sky is Dola, likely is Sanu, pipe dream maybe Manny Sanders.
I would think Amendola would be likelier than Sanu, actually.
Even Rex Burkhead coming back.
How real is that? How real do you think is the...
It's all speculation, but I think that'd be a real option. I think they would take him back. I heard you guys questioning whether Amendola shot his way out of town. I think they would take him back. And the whole no learning curve, his contract isn't that expensive. He's cheaper than Sanu. Brady would obviously be thrilled to have Amendola back.
When you get back together with Olivia Culpo, so she'd be around the team.
Yeah, a lot of...
What about the carport?
Oh, yes, the carport controversy.
Yeah, I wonder if
he
still has that home in Rhode Island.
But doesn't that make perfect sense, though? If you bring in Dola, it's plug and play, and they could add some defensive help, because Detroit, I think, is as much a defensive team as the Patriots are right now. And the point is, if you saw Sunday, Like the Houston Texans, whose defense is not as good as the Patriots, were able to contain the Chiefs pretty well. So why not have overall faith in the Patriots three phases winning a game as opposed to like, well, Tom, you better go out there and just shoot the bad guys down.
Well, because that's literally the analysis is, well, they've done it before, so they'll probably do it again. And that's like winging a prayer stuff. You're just kind of wishing it and saying, well, they've done it before, so of course they'll do it again. But there's no guarantee. And this year is completely different from last year. I know how people say, well, they figured it out at the end of last season. They had five healthy offensive linemen. They had James Devlin. They had Gronk. Edelman was healthy. They have none of those things right now.
They have two more guys on IR now at week seven than they did the entirety of last season. That's just football.
Yeah, but more importantly is how many like starters have they lost and actual games played? Because you could just throw bottom of the roster guys on IR and it's not a big deal. But yeah, they're banged up right now. And I hate to be melodramatic, but the only time in the last 5 years.
You love being melodramatic. I do. You love it.
I look in the mirror and say, let's be as melodramatic as possible.
But your melodramatic statement is that this offense, as constructed right now, is not good enough to win the AFC.
It is not. I don't think they can keep up ultimately with the Chiefs and the Texans. Those are the two teams that I think.
The Chiefs just lost to the Colts.
The Chiefs are a little banged up. And the Colts are a good team. And the Chiefs are definitely banged up right now. But what's going to happen? I'm sorry?
And so are the Pats.
Yeah, and so are the Pats, absolutely. But the Pats are thin. The Pats are really thin right now. I mean, other than Julian Edelman, what do they have for Tom Brady to throw to? You know, Jacoby Myers is okay. Josh Gordon, we don't really know what's going on with him. He's been very banged up and inconsistent.
He won't play Monday night.
You don't think so?
No, he wasn't at practice yesterday. I think that ankle looked bad. And what sucks is that he got hurt on the strip sack. So it all goes back to Newhouse. See?
Well, seriously, though, there are two holes on the offensive line are center and left tackle. Those are the two positions you don't want to lose. So, last year they were able to get it done with, at the end of the season, take teams by surprise by completely shifting the dynamic of their offense. But that's not easy to do. And I think that was a special case last year. And that'll be tough for them to do this year.
So Detroit, if you believe the Amendola stuff, Detroit is not concerned about Bennett. They'll do that. They're not worried about what happened here, and they'll do that deal.
I think Matt Patricia would take Michael Bennett. Matt Patricia is on the staff, obviously from the Patriots, and knows how good of a player Bennett used to be. And the whole do your job from the 2014 Super Bowl was all about how great Michael Bennett was. So I think Patricia would look at him and say, I can make it work.
What happened? The money. So what? Any insights? I mean, we get it. Philosophical difference.
Well, yeah,
they went at each other.
So they had him do a completely different role this year. He's used to lining up completely out wide, attacking the offensive linemen like in their gaps, like from a really wide angle. And this year they had him more head on, 3-4 defense, grab the defender in front of you, grapple with him, let the linebackers behind you make plays. And it's been new for Bennett, and it's been tough. And I think Belichick even said they've allowed him to have some input over his role, and you've seen his role change a little bit more to what he used to do in Tampa and Seattle, but that doesn't really fit what they're trying to do right now. So you've seen his snap count decrease to 14 and then to 11 the last 2 weeks. So I just think he's frustrated with how everything's going right now.
And that boiled over.
I think so, yeah, on Friday.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do gap control. He wants to get after the quarterback. And if his money can help get you a receiver and you can get 95% of Michael Bennett by rotating Dietrich Wise, Shalik Calhoun, and Winovich, who's been Winovich has been awesome. This guy is going to continue to rise. He's going to be a star here. And then just unload him. At this point, just give him a chance to go somewhere else and get something in return.
I agree. If you can get a 6th-round pick or a 7th-round, and more importantly, it would be just clearing the cash and the cap space. You could clear like $2 or $3 million by trading him, and then you could go and add a wide receiver, a tight end, or a left tackle.
Did you think Gronk was lying yesterday when asked about Malcolm Butler?
That he doesn't know? I believe that. Does Gronk seem like a really inquisitive kind of guy? He's going to get to the bottom
of
something?
Everybody, come on, Ben.
You really think he tried to get to the bottom of it?
Yes, I think, of course he did. That's a Super Bowl ring that was cost by not playing him in that game.
But how many people inside that building do you think really know what happened? I think it's Belichick and maybe like one or two other guys.
Do you
guys.
Think Tom Brady does?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if he does.
Why did... You're so obsessed.
Of course Tom Brady knows.
I think he has theories and inside information, but I don't,
Greg, you is Belichick fully explaining? I mean, this explaining? Is so asinine. This decision cost them a championship. You work your whole life to get to that place, and this decision by your head coach cost you a championship.
That's what you say, Curtis.
Yeah, I don't agree with that take.
You weren't playing in the game.
Of course I wasn't.
Okay, you weren't. So maybe those guys don't believe that. Maybe they don't. Maybe they think they lost that Super Bowl for other reasons.
Go back to that Monday after that game, Greg, and what this entire region was like. It was Grady Little Part 2. Tom Brady, I am certain of it, knows what happened, and at the very least has attempted to get to the bottom of it. And who's Tom Brady's best friend? Rob Gronkowski.
Alex Guerrero.
You don't think those two have talked about it? Of course they have.
I truly don't know.
Ben, you've been in enough locker rooms. You know these guys all share secrets and things trickle down. They probably know, but I think Gronk has a reason to be pissed because not only did it cost him a ring, he would have been the MVP of that game, even though Brady threw for 500 yards.
He wasn't pissed.
Brady would have been MVP of that game.
I think Gronk could have been. Gronk was unstoppable in that second half. He was unstoppable.
Yeah, but it always goes to the quarterback. I mean, it just does.
I think he had it.
But you believe him.
Except this time with Edelman. But you
don't think Gronk came in here and lied yesterday?
I believe him. I don't think many people in that building truly know what happened. I think it's Belichick and maybe Ernie Adams and one
Kraft,
or two other guys. Kraft.
Probably
yeah.
Kraft knows, right?
Yeah, so I think Brady and Gronk and those guys have their beliefs and theories and kind of know what happens. But as for actually asking Belichick what happened and getting a clear-cut answer?
These
no.
These people think that Gronk and Brady went to Bill and demanded an explanation for why Malcolm
so
Brown
Bob
didn't
Kraft
play.
Knows? We can all agree on that? Bob Kraft knows?
Yeah, I think so.
I would think he does.
Okay, so Tom didn't go to Belichick. He called Bob Kraft, and Kraft told him.
Is this what they had the secret Davio's dinner about a couple nights after Super Bowl 52?
Yeah, that and just that, probably everything that was going on with, that organization and all the players were speaking out. And to Danielle's point, Brady was liking Malcolm Butler's Instagram post.
Yes, yeah, right. This is David. Hello, David.
Greg, how are you?
Wait a minute. Is this David with the question of the week of Gronk yesterday who demanded an answer?
This is Dave the caller.
All right, Dave. Nice work yesterday. What's up?
Greg, I couldn't believe actually I woke up this morning and everyone's like, you are on national news.
Yes.
I asked him a yes or no question. Greg, I was like you. I believed in my heart that Gronk is retired.
Yes.
And no was going to be the answer anyways. But I just want to put it to rest, you know. Hey, Ben, I believe that the Patriots have a huge offensive problem. And not so much in the wide receivers. It's more in the offensive line department. And they need to get offensive line help. Besides Isaiah Wynn coming back, they need another lineman to shore Brady up. Because Brady's proved that he can throw passes to no-name receivers all day. He needs the protection to do that.
But I would agree with that, and they need the run game, too.
But Brady doesn't think that.
Brady wants help everywhere.
Tom Brady's on this show talking about how great the offensive line is.
Yeah, you never as a quarterback want to speak ill of your offensive line. Those guys,
no, you have to. You have to pump them up. Could you speak ill of them? They could do a little ole, and then we'll see in the ER.
They're going to allow their quarterback to get killed because
he said
something about him on the radio. You guys are ridiculous.
It's not Ted Karras' fault. It's not Marshall Newhouse's fault. Those guys are what they are. They're backups, and Marshall Newhouse.
I think those guys are playing great football.
Newhouse came here in week two and just kind of got thrown right in. So, I think actually he's done okay, all things considered, but they just have backups.
His career highlight to date is a YouTube clip of him picking up a fumble, getting tackled, doing a 360, and dropping the ball.
Oh, that was
and
him?
That's the start. That's him.
With the Packers?
The Raiders game.
Raiders,
Robert.
Hi. Hey. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
I just want to go back on the Malcolm Butler thing. I honestly, he could have gave us a chance to win that Super Bowl, but at the same time, like, there are so many other facets of the defense that it weren't doing really their job that night. I mean, we weren't pressuring Nick Foles at all. Like, the rest of the secondary was garbage. Like, let's be honest.
Right. He would have helped.
Yeah, he would have helped. But at the same time, like, I still think the Eagles would have beat us that night. Because if they didn't throw in his direction and they would have kept going to their receivers, I think he still would have lost, but I mean, you always wonder what could have been. It's all kind of like smoke and mirrors type thing. Like, who knows what would have happened?
Well, Curtis wakes up every day and says, "Malcolm Butler, I want an answer."
It's a great unanswered question of my life.
Curtis wants that seventh Super Bowl ring. It's, you know, he feels cheated.
Tom Brady got cheated out of his fifth Super Bowl MVP and his seventh Super Bowl title. That is all on Bill Belichick and his decision to be selfish and not play.
But don't you think the Patriots kind of stole one last year? Like, that was not a Super Bowl team entering the playoffs. And
they stole one in 49. Let's be honest. Malcolm Butler stole a Super Bowl.
Literally.
Can we create at some point a topic of the or a list of the five most beaten to a pulp topics on sports radio?
Antonio Brown,
AB,
also Antonio
Malcolm
Brown.
Butler,
Malcolm Butler, Brady, Belichick, Kraft hate each other.
Brady's house,
Gronk coming back.
Gronk coming back. That one has been beaten to an absolute
plastic straws.
Mm-hmm. You plastic straws at ballparks.
I think you guys just described every show you've done this week.
ranch dressing.
Well,
Fitzy, you would agree this offense has some real issues.
This offense has major issues right now.
And they haven't played anyone, right?
I'm trying to, they've played absolutely nobody. But I'm just trying, I don't even think the competition they're going to face is that good till late November at this point. At first I thought it would start with the Baltimore game, but I don't even think Baltimore's that good. I think the season begins, Belichick always says, your football season begins at Thanksgiving, and the true first test is going to be when they go to Houston Thanksgiving weekend.
But you have, this is what drives me crazy about this, you have perhaps the best defense that you've ever had.
But you don't know that. You don't really know that.
Oh, God.
You don't. They haven't
everybody
been tested.
Tom Brady said it.
Well, so what? Tom Brady's just pumping their tires because they've been carrying him the last 6 weeks.
The defense is pretty awesome.
No, it's fantastic. And seeing the Chargers-Steelers game the other day makes you appreciate the Patriots because the Chargers lost at home to a third-string quarterback. And that never, you know, the Patriots at least take care of business.
I know. That's why Ken's wearing his Devlin Hodges jersey in here today.
And doing the duck calls, right?
And by the way, was there anything more embarrassing in the history of football than the Los Angeles Chargers playing a home game in front of 25,000 Steelers fans?
I loved watching it because the Chargers deserve everything they get for abandoning San Diego.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like when they move into a real stadium with 65,000 seats?
With the Rams fans that don't show up because Goff sucks?
Yeah, exactly. And the Rams probably aren't going to draw, and the Chargers definitely aren't going
to
draw.
How's the traffic going to be like getting to the LA games? I mean, let's get into that.
probably stuck behind garbage trucks.
Ben, so if you had to guess, they do a deal, and your guess on the deal, if you had to say today, what do you think they do?
I think that I like Amendola. I like the way that sounds. He's not doing much for Detroit. They don't necessarily need him there, and he's costing them a penny. And I think they need pass rush help as well. Obviously, Patricia, Bob Quinn, they know Bill Belichick very well. So I like the Bennett for Amendola swap. That sounds good to me.
I'd take it. I think every Pats fan would sign up for that yesterday.
Yeah, it makes sense for both teams. The money works. It helps both teams. You potentially get a problem out of your locker room here. You don't know what Michael Bennett's going to do. So I think that sort of swap makes a lot of sense.
All right, and I'm going to hold you accountable on saying today that this offense – is not good enough to
the way it's currently constructed. No, they've got some work to do, and yeah, maybe I just provided them with the material for the NFL Films piece at the end of the year when they say everyone counted us out.
Yes,
in which case you're welcome, Patriots fans. I'm here to do, you know, I work for you guys.
I'm looking forward to hearing your audio and do your job for. And you'll have to excuse Greg.
He's dying over there.
Too much sports radio talk. He's allergic to it.
No, I feel like I get better from my cold, and then all of a sudden it comes back, and I have a coughing fit.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an old man thing, is having coughing fits.
You were naked in the studio yesterday.
Yeah,
that didn't help.
I took my shirt off here yesterday, and it sent the rest of the staff into a complete and utter breakdown. Like, nobody's ever seen anybody take their shirt off.
Breakdown in the sense that they were overwhelmed by your good looks?
Yes, I think that was it, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
You're 100% right.
Really angling to come back, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Butter up the host. That's what you do.
Well, Curtis suggests you as a guest every day. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
I love Ben.
I don't know what's going on with you two, but whatever you're giving him, keep doing it.
Whatever it takes to get on this show.
Yes, sir. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.